living down. I second guess when in is out and more is less. The times have changed, or was it me? My doctor says it's only self-protection, but I'm just sure, safe and secure, sure as a Florida election.
Good evening and welcome to Radio Alchemy, where we fuse the fringe with conventional wisdom. From secret societies to out-of-body experiences, black budget technology to this new world disorder, we want you to join us each week as we look at this thing called life with all the pieces.
Was it me? The stop signs facing every which direction.
But I'm just sure, safe and secure, sure as a Florida election.
All right. Pleasure to be here. I'm very happy to meet you.
Hello, y'all.
Good morning, Eben, Candy, and Nolan.
Hey,
good
Bob,
morning,
how you doing?
Bob.
I'm doing great.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Hi,
Glo. Good morning, Glo.
Yeah, no, that's no problem. Let's read it and then see if the guys have anything to add to it, because it came up at the end of the last session in April, almost a year ago, and didn't the guys say, well, that's a whole other show? I sort of remember that.
Yes. Yeah.
And whether there are reptilians, right? Or was that assumed? And then what did Glo, she privately asked them a day or so later, right?
Right, so I'm wondering if we can just...
Yeah, read what she wrote to you.
Well, instead, can we just ask the gentleman to
okay.
do it live now?
Yeah. Let's say, are there reptilians? Okay, let them ask whatever they want to do. But I don't know if there are such things.
Okay, I'll ask away. Okay, I've got Frank here stepping forward, and he's kind of like ripping bits off his face. Kind of underneath is, yeah, like this scaly, horrible green lizard thing. So, are we talking about an internal thing here, guys, or an external thing? No, Marshall's pointing to him and reiterating, like, underneath in a certain sense of...
So Zappa ripped off his face, and he was a reptilian underneath.
Yeah.
And then McLuhan's pointing at him.
M. He is. Okay. Okay, and then there's like other beings stepping forward as well that are kind of behind them. They look the same, too.
So other beings are appearing in your room there?
Yeah.
What's Joyce doing?
he's sitting on the floor with his legs crossed, and he's got his hands over his ears. And he's shaking his head going, oh, God, no. I think Frank's on the wind-up here. I don't think, you know, it's not...
So that's the question. You're saying to them, is this internal Frank, or are you really a reptilian ghost?
No, he's not. But he's trying to express something, though. Okay, Emma's trying to explain this. It's like, oh, God, he's putting me off. He's laughing too much. it's like, oh, God, let me get this. Okay, these beings exist, but, okay, the way that they've been brought to us in kind of our reality or whatever, it's come from someone. That's what he's trying to say.
Is what from someone?
It's come from somebody. It's like somebody's idea.
So there are beings, extraterrestrial beings, and we're projecting a certain image on them.
Yes.
So they don't look like the image we project of the reptilian?
No, not completely, no. Sort of, yeah, similar, but not the same, no.
Are they bifurcated?
No.
In their chest plate, the actual ones.
Sorry, I can't hear you, Bob.
Are they bifurcated in their chest, like sliding ribs? Is that what the aliens actually look like, one set anyways?
Yeah, they do seem to have, like, ribs, but they have kind of, I don't know, these weird kind of, like, they're flatter. Like, the ribs aren't, like, singular ribs. It's like a whole...
Yeah, it's overlapping.
Yeah, it's like a plate.
Yeah, now, are they showing it to you or just saying it?
No, I'm seeing it.
Yes, now that's the description I got of the Boodians. Those are the ones that are going to make contact with us in, say, about 20 years. Yes, remember in Mesquite, Nevada, in August 99, you were there, I met you then, Eben. I described them, there's all kinds of life out there, but the ones that are going to make contact with us have this slatter, this overlayered ribcage. It's one of their aspects. They're basically a human shape, you know, bipeds and that. But they do have the overlapping rib cages. And you remember that glow. I mean, Eben.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. They're from the Boodies. And so, Glow, they're confirming that entity, that shape exists, and that's what we're projecting the reptilians on?
Okay, let me ask that.
Why are they putting that in our heads?
Yeah, yeah, who's putting the reptilian image in our head?
Oh, right, okay, yeah, that's where M's going. Like a point, he's holding his finger in here. It's like a point, it's like... Yeah, planting the idea, isn't it? Absolutely. But the idea hasn't come out. It's close, but it's not quite right.
But where did the idea, the image of the reptilians that everybody has in that world, in our culture, come from?
Them.
Them?
Them. It is coming from them, but obviously I think we overlay, you know, the kind of our own kind of reaction or ideas to it.
Yeah, I've always wondered if the reptilian or snake-like, if it is snake-like, if we're projecting the Kundalini image, the energy of the Kundalini on their natural images. So in the meeting, we project some kind of subconscious thing from our Kundalini constituents in our body. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, it's almost like Em's explained that it's like just a projection of what we think they will be like rather than what they are like.
But it's an image that showed up about 20 years ago and no one had that image before. We had other images like the one in Spielberg, the little four-year-old with the big eyes. Yeah, why did we change the image?
It seems that they... Oh, God, I've got this being in front of me and it's like he's pulsing the kind of information like seeing telepathy. It's like pulsing light.
I know what you mean. I've been told that the Boodians can assume any form for us. So the pulsating would mean to you that that's the form it's presenting itself to you.
Yeah.
And they can do any other form.
No, it's kind of like lizard-like.
Yeah, and even though. It doesn't have the overlapping rib cages, or it is showing that?
Yeah, no, that's what it showed me.
Right.
The flat ribs.
So we can put a new image out in the pop culture. We're going to update the reptilian image. We will put in the overlapping rib cages.
Yeah, and it's got really thick skin, and it's dark green, really dark green.
Right. You know, I have a theory why that image came up. Let's think of that as thick snake skin. If you ever take LSD or anything... and watch TV, you'll notice the pixels on the TV image screen will become reptilian, become snake-like. So actually, TV is really molding us, you know, over the last 30 years, and we're projecting the TV energy on this being. And it's a snake thing because one of the characters of TV is that it's the dance of thought among words. And the Thailanders, when they have a sense of understanding or mastering a topic, they say, I know it like a snake swimming in water. Subconsciously, We think these UFOs can swim in space, go anywhere, so we project this reptilian heritage. Right. Yeah, that is that's an archetypal image. Yeah, where does that come from, Glow? What do they say to that?
And flashing seeds, evolution. We're going right back to, like, fish kind of crawling out of the water and changing into...
So in yoga, when they talk about Kundalini, they're projecting about getting in touch with very deep natural forces that we came from?
Yeah, I think they're kind of, what they're representing here is like our ultimate nature. So it's going back to a really, I mean, they're using the term of evolution on it, but that is just the kind of projection of...
of our image of first nature, which we came from.
Yeah, that's right.
You got that, Glow? I mean, Evan, that's, you know, technology, culture, and all that is second nature. We made that. But the yogis want us to tap in what we originally came from. And so they're saying we came from, you know, and a snake is such a primitive image of evolution. Yeah, but knowledge of what?
Knowledge of the good and evil dichotomy.
Oh, okay. The other part of the traditional non-Christian image is a snake with the bird on its head. Or the snake has a bird head. Why is that just two aspects of first nature? Or, as William Irwin Thompson would say, it's the base merging with the base chakra meeting with the crown chakra. Is that too cultural, or is the image really coming from first nature evolutionary things, the bird and the snake?
You want me to ask that?
Yeah. If I ask a question, I'm asking them to glow.
Right, okay, hold on. It's both ends, like putting his hands together and then putting his fingers between. So they both mesh together.
Did say that again?
It's both of them mesh together.
The bird and the snake mesh together?
No, the first and second nature.
Ah, meshed together.
Yeah. It's like an amalgamation.
That's what the bird adds to it.
Yes.
Ah, that's great. I know that Cosmic Awareness, when they did their symbol project, they created 144 symbols back in the 60s. The symbol for simple awareness, mirror awareness was the flower, simple awareness was the bird. So that may be cultural. Simple awareness, when humans begin to have simple awareness. So they're overlaying the bird on the primitive snake energy.
But he's just showing them the kind of two to mesh together. And the other being, this is, I'll mention this because he's just doing it, he's kind of, he was standing up when we were talking, but now he's kind of like crouching down. And then when he gets up, he keeps putting his arms up in the air like he's worshipping a greater being or...
Yeah, it sounds like when he's crouching, he's primitive, real like ape-like or primitive. And then when he stands up, that's humans adding culture. And then that's the projection of flying in the bird. That's right.
He's holding his arms up like he would fly, sort of thing.
Right, and that's the second phase of humans interpreting their primitive experience. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, great.
Thank you. Yes, I had the privilege of studying with Yogi Bhajan, who is a master of Kundalini Yoga. And very simply, he said that the whole term, all the terminology about the Kundalini is suggestive of the serpent in the sense that a serpent is often seen coiled, ready to strike. And in the same way, the Kundalini energy is understood by the yogis to be essentially held in reserve or coiled at the base of the spine. And they visualize the nervous system as consisting of a sort of a right-handed twisty path up they called the Ida, and the left-handed twisty path that went in the opposite direction called the Pingala. And normally our energy runs up and down those two nervous pathways, the spinal column really. But then if you realize your divinity and you balance the energy throughout all the chakras, what happens is then the energy rises up through the central column called the Sushumna. And so basically when the serpent comes to life, when that energy is uncoiled, you have this incredible, totally unbelievable rush of energy that goes straight through your spine, right out through the top of your head, and that's the uncoiling of the serpent. And it's all very, very metaphorical, but the whole idea is to open yourself to your being as energy and being as one with the universe. And when that realization comes, you totally light up like a rocket.
Okay, Glow, I'd ask.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Glow, what this person just said, is that projecting culture, second nature, on this the meaning of first nature or the experience of it, or when he says it shifts to the central spine, is that moving away and in is that just tapping into a deeper level of first nature?
Okay, let me ask the guys. Okay, right, they kind of stood back. This being is, wants to share something.
We have contact here, Evan.
It's like, whew, I'm talking to a lizard, my God. Okay, he's just, he's showing me the energy in his back and in his spine, okay, and this energy is, as he's standing up, is going up and up. But when it comes to the top, it's like he loses his physical form. It's like he kind of, it's not totally, he doesn't phase out totally, but he, it's like I can see through him, and then he's merging with everything around him.
Well, that'd be the astral body.
Yeah, well, just no more than that, though. It's like reality itself. He's just merging with everything.
Yes, when he merges around everything, is that a second nature or a first nature fact?
He's merging from first nature through second nature.
Into what? Third nature?
When do you go from second nature to first nature?
I've got it around the wrong way, haven't I? Yeah.
When do you go to zero nature, like the zero point?
I don't know. There's a lot of energy here, though. It's like I'm leaning backwards kind of now. It's like, woo. It's really powerful stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what did you get backwards, Glow?
I think the first and the second nature part.
So we went
like Evan said, it's going the other way.
But you just said down. Do you mean the energy went down his spine, Glow?
No, it went up.
Into the physical. What I said, the deeper levels of first nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deeper energies. Yeah, there's a question. Does that create a new body?
Okay, let's ask. It's like his whole body's disappeared now, and there's just like flashes of light different places in the room.
Like he's broken up into particles.
Yeah.
But the question is he showing us what is inside first nature, or has he gone to another level, or there's no difference between the other level and first nature?
Okay. I can't ask him because he's not there, but M's trying to explain something here to me. He's saying that there is a difference, but it's only a slight difference, and the difference really is... Okay, what do you mean by that? Hold on. To do with speed.
It has to do with speed?
Yeah.
Velocity.
Yeah.
So
well, that gets into particle physics.
It's vibration.
See, that's why it broke up. I've just been reading about it. It broke up into subatomic particles, or that's our second nature cultural image of faster physics.
Nothing I won't do for you, yeah. But my mind is so in trouble, I just don't know what I'm gonna do.
Well, actually, reinventing the wheel was created by Nige Lennon, who had a friendship with Frank many, many years ago, and she's written some very interesting music, and I was fortunate enough to do three of the cuts on the CD. The other CD is Brian Hudson and the Popular Front, and Brian does a lot of good old political music and some really good songs on there. If you're interested, you can email me at PATRIZAP, which is Patrizap, at AOL.com, and I'd be glad to instruct you on the ways of accumulating these fine, fine CDs.
Thank you, Brian. Well, I've known Brian, I guess, about 7-8 years. Brian is a attorney slash songwriter here in Los Angeles. And he came to me a few years ago. He said, I've got a lot of songs. They're sort of socially conscious songs. And let's just sat in my living room, and we sort of went over them. The next thing, we found ourselves in the studio. And then next thing we know, we were coming up with a song like Sure about the Florida elections. He's got another one about Baghdad called Line of Fire. There's a lot of songs about situations that are going on in the world right now. His particular slant on it. Not sure Mona Lisa's turning over in her grave, seeing Condoleezza's face morphed into hers.
Now, Brian Hudson has a website?
Yes, he does have a website.
You can just search BrianHudson.com.
You can search BrianHudson.com and you can get his website.
Roger Dodger, back again. God, I am such a philosophical neophyte. I'm just in awe of even Bob's terminology. What is first nature, if I might just ask that question right off?
I mean by that the physics, the world that was created not by us. I mean, cultures say God created it, but we don't know the creator, what the creator created, what we're born into. That's first nature, right? I guess you could call it nature. But I make a distinction between first nature and second nature. Second nature is what humans make. Any artifact humans make, we parallel and add to first nature, which is a given. Is that clear?
Thank you. Okay, very good.
Was that clear?
That was extremely clear. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. It's just the terminology. It's like defining terms before you even start the book. And glow, total exact contrast. It's like totally pure, just connecting. And they're just like, we're all energy, and you just hook right in. You just hook right in. It's like an amazing, amazing talent.
What is? Who are you referring to, glow?
Well, glow at this point, yeah. It's like, you know, one is learned, and the other is, in a complementary sense, mindless.
That's right. One's right hemisphere, and I'm left.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, just finishing the sort of the metaphysical concept. You guys, just toward the end, before the break, now it's like 11, 12 minutes ago, the discussion was going from self and other, or in other words, a multiplicity of apparent beings, moving from that to the unity, and then Eben kept going all down to zero, and it's like the void before form. And it's like this huge explosion, and then it ultimately all has to die away. Anything with the beginning has an end, but what comes after the end?
Yeah,
so that's always there before.
That's the void before the fourth,
yes.
Is the interval, the resonating,
yes,
gap.
Yes, the silence.
Yes, and that's Linus Pauling said all chemistry was united by the resonant interval.
Ooh.
More and more, I mean, all the subatomic particles are physicists trying to describe the non-visual resonating interval.
Yeah, and the harder we look, the more we see, and it's just like music. There has to be silence between the notes. Okay, I'm gone. Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
That's the big note, right, Candy?
You bet.
Before we go on, tell us about your experience. Tell us how this happens for you. The listeners know, because we just kind of jumped right into it. Explain what's going on for you and how you are able to see these folks.
Okay. They're just kind of there. it's a bit hard to describe, I suppose. It's like
when you were young, in my visual space.
And today I've got my eyes closed because I'm having a little trouble concentrating. I can see them really clearly today. I've had a lot of help and other people that have come in to make this really clear for me. And they just, it's just, imagine if you closed your eyes and imagine somebody you know. It's just like that. They're just there.
It's that clear with color, sound. Does your room transform, or do they just materialize in your room?
No, they just materialize in the room. I mean, sometimes they walk through a door and they'll come in gently, or other times they'll just come, sometimes they come through a wall. you know, and they're just there in the space. It's the same space, but they're just on a different plane. So
well,
I just
why
tune
do
into
you
that
say
plane.
Glow, you close your eyes.
I am today. Normally I don't, but today I got my eyes closed.
Why?
Because I'm just having, I was having a little trouble concentrating. It's just easier for me to see when I've got my eyes closed. I've noticed.
You mean they're in? They're on your mind screen?
Yeah. Well, not on my mind screen. I can. No, they're out there. I'm looking at them outside of myself. But it's just easier if I got my eyes closed.
And then you can hear what they say.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's really clear. It's like, and other times it's a little bit fuzzy. It's the same with seeing them. Sometimes, like, you know, they'll get really clear bits where they're showing me certain things. You know, like the breastplate and stuff.
Yes.
They'll show me a really clear, distinct image of
but
what
they're
trying to show
me. But that's with your eyes closed?
Pardon?
Is that with your eyes closed they show
Yeah.
Them? So they communicate to your, behind your mind, your mind screen, as well as their, if you open your eyes, they're showing the breastplate. If you close your eyes, you see the breastplate.
Yeah, I can see it both with eyes. I mean, I can still see it, like now I've opened my eyes, and, you know, they're still there, and I'm aware of them in the visual space, but they're just not as clear for me today.
And they're clearer when you close your eyes?
Yeah, today they are.
So that's the interval. They're in the interval.
I never thought of that.
What?
I never thought of that.
No, like they're in. They can be both inside and outside.
Yeah.
Well, that's transparency in a way.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
but glow, it started when you were a kid. You could just see ghosts when you were 5 years old or something.
Yeah, that's right. When I was young, I just become aware of presences and stuff and see things.
And your parents knew this.
I spoke to my mom about it. I didn't know my dad so much because he's a bit kind of like, we're not sure about that.
And so, the only reason we're in touch is that you were looking into the Church of the Subgenius, and then they didn't, you sent in your $30 and and you didn't get anything. So then you were Googling Bob Dobbs and you came to the McLuhan Institute, and while you were looking at, I don't know if you saw my articles, but you saw my name, a ghost comes up to you while you're at the computer and introduces himself as Marshall McLuhan.
Yeah, he says, contact that guy and get the transcripts. And I, like, for about 2 days, I'm going, no way. I said to him, I'm going, no, I'm not doing this. The guys think I'm crazy. You know.
And then she did it. As a matter of fact, we just posted on various websites or news groups the beginning emails of how Glow sent an email to the public part of the McLuhan Institute and said, well, I'm here. And Nelson Saul said, well, if you're here, you're meant to be here. And then she said, well, McLuhan wants to talk to somebody who talked to him through another medium. And Nelson Saul said, that must be Bob Dobbs, because I had talked to McLuhan or something claiming to be McLuhan through the Evergreens. And, you know, we could send that out to people if they want to see the emails of contact.
Fantastic. Well, because this is valuable time for everybody involved, and we really want to utilize our opportunity here to speak with you.
I have a question, Evan, to get back in the topic. Is the breastplated being, does he represent the people making the crop circles?
Okay, I'll just ask that question. Not all of them, but some. He's saying it's
That's right. A lot of them are made by humans.
Yes.
But they're making some of them.
Yeah.
Okay, the question is, I've been told that there's sacred symbolism, modern subatomic particle symbolism, fractals, all this cultural stuff that humans in the crop circles. And the reason the Boodians are making them, it's not that those symbols are keys to reality, but that's what we would recognize. Is it accurate to say what I just said, that he's making the crop circles with our cultural heritage in them so that we recognize the crop circles?
No, he's saying it's the other way around. He's saying that the ones that they make trigger people to make the other ones.
Yeah, but why does he use our cultural sacred geometry and stuff, this is how we see that in there, from ancient cultures. Why does he put that image in their crop circles, the ones they make?
He's saying he doesn't in his ones. He's just shaking his head.
Oh, he doesn't do that?
No.
Ah, okay. No, this is important. I've talked to Colin Andrews, and he says 80% of the crop circles are hoaxes. So, and more books are coming out about the sacred geometry and all this stuff. So that's more of the human ones are putting that in there.
Yeah, it's like a cultural reflection of what we're showing them.
Right. Now, what is in theirs?
Okay. Okay. He's just showing me like a round circle, and then it kind of warps and it elongates.
Yes.
And then it goes back to being a circle again.
Right. So almost like a pair of glasses. You know, one circle and then a loop and then another circle.
No, it's what do you call it? It's like an ellipse, but.
You mean it's just a circle? It's just round.
Yeah, well, yeah, it starts off as round, and then it kind of stretches, so it's like a cigar shaped, and then it goes back to being round. That's what he's showing me.
Right. Now, when they make the crop circles, they don't make that change. They're just what they are, and the crops, the ground shows them. How do they show the change? By doing the second crop circle?
No, okay. The change isn't visual. He's pointing to his eyes. The change is what comes out of the first one. So it's not a visual thing.
Well, that's how we see them.
Yeah. No. But he's saying they're putting something else into the circle. They're like embedding something into it that we would get out of it. It's not a visual thing.
Oh, we get something out of it that's not in what we see.
That's right.
And so it's massaging us.
Yes, we like that.
So they're making the simpler shapes.
But considering that people cannot necessarily only experience crop circles from a visual place, not everybody gets to England or to some of these places, does that information somehow reach us through the visual?
Okay, he's just going through the air. It's like a kind of resonance. He's resonating his hand here. So it's like resonates through the energy.
Right. The shape is the visual version of something that's multisensory. Is it contacting all humans on the planet?
Yes, but it's not just in the shape. It's it's like they put energy into the shape. And it's that that's resonating out, but it's affecting other things.
It's a benign radioactivity.
That's very close, really close.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's radioactivity, but that...
But our image of radioactivity, you know, it spreads and wipes everything out or burns it or whatever, but it's a benign kind of thing.
Yeah.
That they're actually using. Now, Eben, get your head around that. By having a simple shape, that's nowhere near what it is. It is something that's communicating to us. Massaging us, and we wouldn't even know what was happening unless there was a little visual after image.
Well, it's interesting that most folks in going to the crop circles are lured by the complexity of some of these, you know, sacred geometry ones, but yet it's the simple ones as what you've
right.
fleshed out that have the have the higher information.
And it's a cliche of that, you know, crop circle subculture that they feel energies when you're standing inside them.
Interesting. Maybe that again is projecting. You know?
No, they're saying it's not projecting.
Right.
Now, what is the purpose of that energies? Are they healing the planet, or what? You know, what are they doing with that?
What the people that are creating them?
Yes. No, the Boudians. Right. Are making these things that radiate this image. What's the purpose, their purpose in doing that to us?
They're resonating some kind of knowledge to us.
All right, a knowledge of Kundalini? Or what's the knowledge of?
resonance.
Okay, changing the resonance.
Now, is it changing our, if we get this knowledge, do we become more moral? Do we become more,
bigger. We become bigger.
Bigger in our images of ourselves?
Oh, okay. Hold on a minute. I'm trying to. Bigger in the fact that it expands the Kundalini energy. It's like he's showing me, holding his arms out and his hands upwards, and the energy that's going up his spine, you know, it's good. I was seeing this golden line going up the middle of him. It's expanding. It's coming out widthways rather than lengthways.
All right. Is that energy diffusing our cultural baggage, the images that we've brought through second nature that are constricting our image, our energy?
It's helping us take them off of ourselves. He's just showing me, like, pulling bits off of himself. It's like taking bits off.
Right. Now, is it affecting our DNA?
Certain parts of it, yes, but very, very small parts.
Now the boot.
Can I have a quick question? We have a couple of folks on the line, and so maybe I know you want to finish this point, but after that, maybe we can just take these calls, and I'm sure we'll get back to this.
Yeah, I'll just say that the Budians altered us in 27,500 BC. They altered our jaw and wrist, giving us human consciousness or human will. It moved us away from the ape-like consciousness. Is they now doing that on a new level?
Okay. He's putting his finger on his arm, okay.
Acupuncture.
Let's see if we can get a clearer idea of what he's trying to say here. They're altering our blood.
Right. Now, this is amazing, Eben, because I've been told that the Budians have been wondering whether we need to be altered or not. This was a question posed to me in a session through another medium a couple of years ago. And now, if we believe what Glow is hearing, it's happening. They're mutating us.
But at a very, very micronic,
first nature level.
Let's get to this quick question from Candy Zappa before we go into the second one.
Okay. Actually, it's not a question. It's something that happened with after I'd heard Inca Roads off of Frank's One Size Fits All album. And I was talking to him, and I said, you know, I feel the same way. I think that there are other beings in the universe. And he said, Frank said, and you can confirm this with me, Glow. He'll probably be nodding his head. He said, it's very pompous of mankind to think that we are the only living beings in the universe.
Yeah, bogus pomp.
Yeah, there you go.
Glow is a Frank nodding away with that.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Yeah, definite confirmation there.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Is there something?
Well, yeah, you know, no, McLuhan and Joyce and Zappa often disagree. Are they all nodding to that?
Yeah, M is, yeah, it's like an absolute, a definite, yeah. James is,
The altering of by the Budians that we're talking about here make us accept this idea even more? I mean, many humans understand this now compared to 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a bigger image of the universe anyways.
Yeah, that's right. It's like they're kind of here just to give something of themselves.
You know what, darlings, right before we end this hour, let's take another comment and question for somebody that has been waiting patiently online before we end this hour. Thank you all. You guys are great. Caller 3. Go ahead and speak, sir. You there? Amen.
Hello?
Yes, that's you.
You have the Glow has Frank and Joyce and McLuhan, right?
Yes.
I got a sort of like a double-edged question, if you don't mind. Can either one of those guys read the Akashic records? If so, I have a question.
Can they read what, sorry?
The Akashic or the Akashic records.
Can they read the Akashic records? Is your question.
That's it.
Okay. Some of them.
Some of them.
Not all. It's like there's kind of restricted access in the library.
Okay, well, here's my question. I want to win the California Super Lottery. No, I'm very serious about this. And I was wondering if any of those guys could give me my own personal winning numbers.
You know what, Don? Somebody has tried this before. Now, don't think that you're the only person
who has to try. Well, we want to do more than try. We want some numbers.
The answer is that, as Bob has said before, and I know Globe has said this, that alters too much your trajectory. And
is that true, Globe?
That's what the Evergreens say, but let's see what they say.
Yeah, right. I'm with Bob. Let's see what they say. Let's see what they say.
I'm not making that up.
Let's see what they say. Let's see what they say.
Let's see what they say to this.
Let's see what they say.
Frank saying money isn't all that, you know. It can make things easy for your life and stuff like that, but it doesn't necessarily make you happy. And sometimes in your heart it makes your heart harder in certain ways.
Whereas
if you didn't have it, you'd be. He said he would have been a lot nicer if he didn't have a lot of money.
If he didn't have a lot of money, he would have been nicer. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, he would have probably been a lot nicer person if he hadn't had so much money.
Well, do you think it's feasible that you could ask him if they can give me a yes or no answer to my question?
Sure. Okay. Can you give him the numbers? There's a no. I'm sorry.
Okay, bye.
Well, what about McLuhan and Joyce?
What about them?
Maybe they'll give the numbers.
They were going to dish it out, they would have stepped up, and I would have said, hold it.
Hey, I would have gone first. I'm first in the queue.
Hey, folks, we are at the top of our second hour. We're going to take a quick break and remind you that this is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. What is going on is that it is the party line, and it is international, it is national, it is local. We have in the studios Candy Zappa and Nolan Porter. In New York, Bob Dobbs. And Glo has her own party going on in London, joined by some fun friends, James Joyce, Marsha McLuhan, and Frank Zappa. The number here, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, darlings. All right, so we are going to take a quick break.
Evan, can I just say this? Candy, that's very interesting that Zappa would say that, right?
Well, I always felt like we were on the same page, you know, as I was growing up. So when I heard him say that, that just confirmed it.
Yeah, that sounds real to me.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's not in Barry Miles' book. No one knows that. That's an exclusive. We just heard now what Frank had to say about his own success.
Well, Barry can't know what happened when I was growing up with Frank. How could he know? He wasn't there.
Right. But the point that Frank is saying that the having the wealth he got later, you know, hardened him is a very interesting statement.
Yeah, that is a very interesting statement. A remark about Barry Miles' book is that he says that my mom was called Rosie, and no one living or dead ever called my mother Rosie with her knowing it. So it was a big mistake, Barry.
And he didn't die on December 6th. He decided he died on the 4th.
On the 4th, right a little after 6 p.m.
All right, Don. Let's pick up this wonderful discussion coming into the second hour. Appreciate all of you hanging out late. You know, we do amazing things, wild things here on Radio Alchemy, and that's what it's all about. That's why you stay up late. We can get way outside the box because the box is so much bigger than any of us can find.
And because the Boodians are changing us.
Wait a minute. I think I'm growing scales. Hold on a second here. I've got to pull some scales off my arm. Hold on.
But you can't keep up. You can't keep up. You can't keep out of the line of fire.
Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Congress now, they've got them on their knees. They didn't have to push too hard, though some stood up for peace. And every time I turn my head, they're scratching out a line. One side for evil renegades.